7. Archbishop's Palace, City of Terrace, Province of Glacierheart, Republic of Sidarmark. It was the coldest winter Jason Conneer could remember in more than one way. Conneer was a lean man, and God had wasted very little fat when he designed him. As a result, he usually felt the cold more badly than many others did, and he'd always thought his assignment to the Archbishopric of Glacierheart in the mountains of Sidarmark was evidence that God and the archangels had a sense of humor. Of late, that humor had seemed somewhat harder to find. He stood gazing out of his office window on the second floor of his palace in the city of Terrace. It wasn't much of a palace, as the great knights of Mother Church usually reckon such things. For that matter, Terrace, despite its unquestioned status as Glacierheart Province's largest city, was actually little more than a largish town by the standards of wealthier, more populous provinces. The people of Conneer's archbishopric tended to be poor, hard-working, and devout. Most of the limited wealth Glacierheart could boast came from the province's mines, which unfortunately produced not gold, silver, sapphires, or rubies, but simply coal. Conneer had nothing against coal. In fact, in his opinion, it had far greater intrinsic value than any of those more pricey baubles, and Glacierheart's coal was good, clean-burning anthracite. It was an honest sort of product, the sort which could be set to purposes of which he was fairly confident God approved. One that provided homes with desperately needed warmth in the midst of winter ice and snow. One that at least a few foundry owners here in Sidarmark were beginning to experiment with, turning it into coke in emulation of the current Carisian practice. Yet there were times when the archbishop could have wished for something a bit gaudier, a bit more in keeping with the vain desires of the world. One that would have provided his hard-working, industrious parishioners with a greater return, and one which did not, despite all the Order of Pasquale could do, send all too many of those parishioners to early graves with black lung. Conneer's mouth twitched at the familiar thought, and he shook his head. "Of course you wish that, Jason," he scolded himself, although the scold was on the mild side, its hard edges worn down by frequent repetition. "Any priest worth his cap and scepter wants his people to live longer, healthier, richer lives. But be grateful God at least gave them coal to mine and a way to get it to market." That thought drew his eyes to the Terrace Canal, frozen hard now, which connected the city to the Greywater River. The Greywater was navigable, for barge traffic at least, for most of its 400-mile length, although there were several spots where locks had been required. It linked Ice Lake, northwest of Terrace, with Glacierborn Lake, 200 miles to the southwest. From there, the mighty Sidar River ran 1,600 miles, snaking through the final mountains of Glacierheart, then through the foothills of Shiloh Province, and into Old Province to the capital city of Sidar itself. Which meant barges of Glacierheart coal could be floated down the rivers all the way to Sidar, where it could be loaded aboard coasters and blue water galleons for destinations all over the world. Most of it was used right here in the Republic, either dropped off at one of the river ports as it passed, or carried clear to Sidar City before it was sold. Of the portion that wasn't disposed of in any of those places, the majority was shipped up the East Haven coast as far as Singwoo's Passage, then west through the passage to serve the insatiable winter appetite of the city of Zion. The fact that it could be sent by water the entire way made its delivery price competitive with overland sources, even when those sources were much closer to hand, and even in far-off Zion, and its quality made it highly prized by discerning customers. Most of its purchase price got soaked up by the merchants, shippers, and factors through whose hands it passed, of course. Very little of the final selling price found its way into the hands, the gnarled, calloused, broken-nailed, cold, dust-ingrained hands which had actually wrested it from the bowels of Glacier Heart's mountains. But it was enough, if only barely, and the people of Kinnear's archbishopric were grateful to get it. They were a provincial people with only the most imperfect knowledge of the world beyond the craggy, snow-topped palisades of their mountain horizons, yet they knew they were better off than many other people on Safehold. That was one of the things Kinnear loved about them. Oh, he loved their piety as well, loved the pure joy in God which he heard in their choirs, saw in their faces. But as much as he loved those things, as much as he treasured them, it was their sturdy independence, their stubborn self-reliance, that truly resonated somewhere deep inside him. They had a sense of self-sufficient integrity. Always quick to help a neighbor, always generous, even when their own purses were sadly pinched, there was something in them that demanded they stand upon their own two feet. They knew what it meant to earn their own livelihood by the sweat of their brows, by back-breaking labor in the deep and dangerous mines. They entered the labor force early, and they left it late, and along the way they learned to value themselves, to recognize that they had given good value and more for those livelihoods, that they had managed to put food on their families' tables, that they had met their obligations, and that they were beholding to no one but themselves.